Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. God is here. God is in each and every one of us. And we are members in particular of the body of Christ. And the body is holy. And this is holy ground because we are here. And God is here. As you know, it's been my practice and intent and intention as the Holy Spirit's been leading to just continue with my opportunity and sacred trust and privilege to serve you in the pulpit ministry to focus on, and I believe the Holy Spirit has been leading to focus on a ministry of healing and impartation of healing. And really, the one of the things that the Holy Spirit's been doing through me, and not only here, but in the Bible studies I've been teaching, and different opportunities I've had to share in other ministries recently, is, if you will, leading us into areas in the Word so that faith can be produced, and in turn it gives the opportunity for us to access the grace of God for healing and to be ministered to by the Holy Spirit and the power, the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit to bring and to heal. The title of the series that I've been on for almost, since last November, I believe now, I've used Psalm 107, verse 20, and I focused. And I use that word I really don't like using that word I. but as the Holy Spirit has been emphasizing and leading me to focus, started out with Psalm 107, verse 20, where it says that they cried out to the Lord in their distresses or their diseases, depending on your translation, and he sent his word to heal them. And I've been realizing more and more just how important that is to grasp hold of, to let the Holy Spirit work it in our hearts and establish it as part of the divine frame of reference of our souls, that the Word, he sent his Word to heal them. He sent his Word to heal us. He is the Word. God is Jesus, and he has come. And through the Word of God, the living Word of God, Peter put it this way in his epistles, that through the knowledge of the Word, we have access to the power. I use the word power because when you go into the interpretations in the original language, it comes out very clearly. But we become partakers of the divine nature, of the nature of God. And through the knowledge of the Word, we access by faith the grace of God that has appeared unto all men. And it's the grace of God that heals us. And it's just like I keep going back to this and letting it come forth just as a refresher and letting the Holy Spirit just hammer it in my heart, that salvation, the term salvation, has so much in the definition of it, and in the impartation of the everlasting life that comes through our faith and the knowledge of what's transposed in the process of us growing in faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing how by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. And we access the knowledge of God through the Word of God as we read it, as the Holy Spirit leads us and we study. And we meditate on it, and he does his work, and he instructs us in the way. John 14:21, the Holy Spirit's ministry, one of his aspects of his ministry is to teach us all things. And then verse 26, to bring to remembrance the things that he's already taught us and deposited in our soul as we've let him. And so we get exposed to knowledge, and that knowledge gets revealed to us in the form of revelation. Rhema is the term. If you look at in the Sermon on the Mount in the early Gospels, Matthew, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. And where it says every word, it's every panta in the Greek, panta rhema. And rhema is the idea, a light beam, if you will, the light of the Holy Spirit coming in, and just the word becomes alive in the, whatever doctrine it is or impartation he's trying to bring to us. And he brings in revelation of what is behind it, who is behind it, what it's all about. And it becomes established in our soul. And at first it's knowledge. But as we see God draw near and begin to believe him, okay, by expressing faith, and we begin to believe what we're reading and hearing, it becomes established in the soul to the point where it becomes conviction and engrafted. And you can go back to Romans chapter 10 in that process that talks about the gospel coming forth and being established in the heart. And it says that the heart believes unto righteousness. And then confession is made unto salvation. Now, we it's taught initially, we're all used to it and familiar with it in the perception of the process of salvation, but it goes beyond the process of salvation and it applies to the doctrines and the instruction of the living word. So we study the word to the point where the Holy Spirit engrafts it in our hearts and it gets established in our heart. And we begin to believe it and not just have a knowledge of it, but we begin to believe it to the point where faith is produced, and faith essentially is trusting God. And faith is used by the Spirit within us to unlock the grace of God. Pastor Handel taught a message once about, I think he used the illustration Mark was sharing me, how the keys to a car, and I think he was using a Mercedes with a roaring engine into it as the example, and that the keys are like faith, and we receive the keys through the knowledge of the word, and you put it in the ignition and you turn it on, and all of a sudden at your disposal is this roaring power of the car, the engine as it runs. And our faith is that little key that unlocks the ability of that engine to run and to move us where he wants us to go, or where we want to go as the Holy Spirit moves us. Follow the illustration. I'll let your imaginations run with that one. But again, Jesus, when he was talking about in Mark 11:23, having a faith of a mustard seed, okay? And the mustard seed faith is like that key. And we use that key of faith, that little faith unlocks the grace of God. And it's the grace of God that does the healing. And it's the grace of God that is free to us. Remember, grace, charis, unmerited, unearned favor and love of God that is shed abroad to those that will receive it. How do we receive it? Well, we hear the message, the good news of the gospel that saves us in the work of salvation. But then beyond saving us from going to hell and going to heaven, which is awesome and just hard, to really grasp hold of that, what that means, but it also, it's the process of impartation of us being established in our hearts to where we begin to believe through the knowledge of the word, where we access literally the virtue, the power that is released by God himself through our knowledge and faith, a little faith that comes from the word, and he provides it all. It's the grace of God. And we with our hearts, we believe unto righteousness, and then we confess with our mouth what we're believing, what we're hearing, and it's being repeated and established, and we confess with our mouth what's going on in our heart. And then the grace is just manifest, the gift of God. And it, just like in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, it says that it's not by works, lest any man should boast. I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about letting the Holy Spirit feed us, instruct us, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, a little at a time, and building our frame of reference, building our hearts in the knowledge of Him, and overcoming what the enemy is throwing against us. You know, as I've been on this track of the what I believe is the track that the Holy Spirit has laid out for me for building up the body, it's here a little, there a little. I've been studying this for over 2 years now with an emphasis in my own personal meditation and studies. And it's so comprehensive and complex, but the Holy Spirit is the one that's in charge. And He's the one that builds us. He, as we yield ourselves and seek Him and seek His Word, He brings in a little bit here and a little bit there, and faith is built. And then pieces of the puzzle, systematic doctrine, theology, begins to be manifest. And we believe it, and it becomes established in our hearts, and then we profess it with our mouths. And as we profess it with our mouths, in one way, in John 6:63, we speak into existence what God wants to have manifest. And as we profess it with our mouths, with the mouth, profession is made unto to salvation. And it's a reflection of what's going on deep in the heart. And it's all the ministry and the activity of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, I could go into a vast realm of different emphases and try to bring out all the knowledge, but it's more than just having knowledge. Oh, this is where I was going with this particular aspect, is we have the knowledge in the Hebrew, going back to the Hebrew, we have wisdom, the wisdom of God, the Word of God, in the form of knowledge, but as we begin to believe it and profess it, and use that key to unlock and receive the grace of God, the Holy Spirit moves, backs up His Word, has an effect on us, an effect on others, and we experience it. We experience it. And it enters into, in the Hebrew, it's epinosis. We go from gnosis to epinosis. And epinosis is knowledge experience. It's not just that we know about it, or even that we just believe it, pardon the expression, but we believe it because we know it's true, because we've experienced it. And now we've experienced it, there's like nothing can take it away from us. And we can share it and preach it to others. So as we preach it, they hear the word, hear the testimonies, hear what's taking place, and it sets them up. In the testimonies, I did a message just focused on that. Through the testimony, sets up this spiritual rebirth syndrome, where through the testimonies, what we hear about others, it sets the stage for it to be repeated in our lives or in other people's lives. And that's why testimonies are so important. That's why testimonies, when you go back to Psalm 107, verse 20, verse 21, talks about, oh, God speaking, oh, that the people of God would just make known, I'll paraphrase it, would make known what God has done for them. And in Psalm 119, you just take a look at that word testimonies all through Psalm 119. It's a long psalm. And testimonies are for the purpose, as we share them, to build faith, to give others that key of faith that unlocks the grace of God. And the grace of God. And in the same way, too, it's not a matter of works, but a matter of letting the Holy Spirit work through us to do what is His nature to do. And it is the nature of God to heal. It is the nature and the will of God to heal. 50 different scriptures, illustrations in the New Testament of Jesus healing. And then going on into the apostles, Peter and Paul and the others, healing in their early ministry and throughout their ministries. You see it all through the book of Acts. And in this is the nature and the will of God. And I'll just repeat it again and bring it out for those who listen on tape. in the very early onset of the emphasis, I got convicted by the Spirit through Ezekiel 34 that in my office and position, my responsibility is to be used of God and be available to be used of God, to serve the body, to heal. And I won't elaborate on that. You can take a look at it yourself. Back in Ezekiel 34, God is speaking to the shepherds of Israel. And it challenged me. It challenged me. And now I'm going to just jump ahead to currently. I'm just excited, and my expectation is continuing to build. And one of the reasons that it's being built in a different way. It's becoming, you know, early on I was stirred and excited in the Spirit. I've been on fire at different times. I didn't plan on it. The last time I was in the pulpit here on a Wednesday night. The Holy Spirit just burned and released. And but what's going on is I'm just that conviction is growing and forming. And it's no longer second-guessing or wanting more to be able to be stronger in the doctrine. God is doing it. And he's doing it through the ministry and the administration of his Spirit through the Word. And I'm firsthand having the experience of and the privilege, the sacred privilege and blessing of seeing God moving, doing healings. Now, in my early on response to the leading of the Spirit, you know, I've got these, some may say, grandiose ideas about what God is going to do. I still have them. But what I've been observing recently, and I can give you testimonies of different healings that have taken place, in physical healings. But I'm not going to go there tonight. What I want to emphasize and bring out is like just recently what's been taking place on a deeper level in many aspects. Sunday I had the privilege to go out and cover for Pastor Lance in Broad Auburn. And I come under a broken anointing. And it was very powerful. And I actually used my testimony and I spoke a message, and probably this is the most detailed, profound way in which the Spirit has moved to bring it and use it in that service in Broad Auburn on Sunday morning. And the afternoon before on Saturday when I was praying, the Holy Spirit, when I was actually asking God, what am I going to preach or teach on, he actually impressed upon me what he wanted to do. And I was like, are you sure, God? And in my prayers and seeking God, I literally had the Holy Spirit speak to me and says, I want you to share your testimony because there's someone in the body that I want to use and to touch to bring healing through your experience and redemption. And that's what happened Sunday morning. It was a powerful service. And then today, we were in the Bible study here in the group that meets in the daytime. We have a number of people that really aren't apt physically to come out at nighttime. They're coming out in the afternoon on Wednesdays at 2. And I was ministering from Romans chapter 8 on the part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I didn't realize what was taking place as I was ministering. Until after, in the questions that came up and the response of the body was there. But the Holy Spirit was moving and doing a very deep healing in several of the people that were there. And I'll give you some insight on what was going on. The Holy Spirit was moving and doing a deep reach and a healing into the souls of individuals that had an upbringing where they didn't have the kind of father that God wants us to have. And so as a result, the enemy has used that to restrict them and oppose them in their ability to really perceive God as a loving Father and enter into the reception of who He is. And the Holy Spirit was ministering today in the service and doing a deep work of healing in these souls' lives, in their hearts. And it was just amazing what took place. And I've seen this in other areas where the Holy Spirit's ministering through the pulpit ministry, through our covering, and just doing deep, deep works of healing in many different areas. And made me think of going back to Isaiah 52 and 53, where Isaiah was prophetically talking about Jesus and the work of the Messiah and what would take place at the cross. Prophetically, he was speaking. And this keeps coming back, and I just want to share it for your, again, refreshment. It says that surely he has borne our infirmities and our sufferings, and that he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And it goes on to say, by his stripes we are healed. And now Peter comments in the New Testament and says, and refers to that, and says in 1 Peter 2:20 that by his stripes we were healed, because Peter's looking back at the crucifixion, what took place at Calvary. And just one aspect of what I just quoted, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The bruise for iniquities, God showed me in Revelation that this is referring to the deep effect of the enemy's work and the old sin nature and the bruising that takes place on the inside. Remember, if you look at a bruise on a body, a bruise, when you see that you've been bruised, that's deep internal bleeding. Generally speaking, bruises are detected because the flesh, the skin turns purple because there's internal bleeding going on. And very often, part of the work that God wants to do is he wants to heal these wounds from the past. He wants to reach deep in and manifest the healing balms of Gilead, I think is the way it's put. The healing oil of the Holy Spirit. He wants to work the oil in to heal those deep-seated bruises that are in the soul. In some cases, we've got things that have been plaguing us that are affecting us now, and we can't quite get a handle on it. And it's because there's still a deep, open wound in the soul that needs to be healed and closed and mended and dealt with. And this is one of the things I went into Sunday morning. But because I experienced that in my own personal walk without going into it tonight. But long after I'd gotten saved, long after I was serving God, I had this deep-seated wound in my spirit and my soul that was just plaguing me. And I was being promoted in ministry. I was serving God in many different areas of ministry. But I just needed to be healed of this one thing that I was involved in prior to my salvation, that just was plaguing me. And God, the way it took place with me, I'll just touch on it, is I literally experienced a visitation. In fact, I went to, in the message there, perhaps in the future I'll go into it again, but 1 Corinthians, I think it's 12:1, where Paul writes and he says, I knew a man, and I know not whether it was in the spirit or in the flesh, but he was taken to the third heaven. And there, and he goes on to tell about, you know, what the Holy Spirit did with him. And the man that he was referring to was himself. And I experienced that in my walk, my experience with the Lord. And he did he reached out and reached down deep, and he did a deliverance and a healing. And that's part of who he is and what he wants to do. Is he's continually working on us if we will let him. And he's molding us, conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. And he's drawing us in. Now today, in the previous study, I was referring to Romans chapter 8 and how the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and helps us in our infirmities and draws us, as you follow that whole chapter in the context of it and the content, he brings us to the place where he's talking about part of his ministry is to draw us into this relationship with God, whereby as children we refer to him as Abba Father, Daddy. Now, you may not be aware of this, but as a student of the Word and one that's challenged to rightly divide the Word, we study the original Hebrew, the original Greek, and the translations from that. When you read your Bible, depending on the translation, you read English, which is a translation from the original language. But when you're reading in the New Testament, there are approximately, I think it's a little less than 50 words that are directly translated. They're not even translated. They're Aramaic. Okay? So if you're reading along, you see a word, like I use the word in the Hebrew, epinosis, which comes from, epinosis is Hebrew, which is translated English understanding, okay? But in these particular words, they're Aramaic, and they're not a translation, they're direct. And there's a purpose behind that because there's apparently the Holy Spirit, time frame?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll close it down real quickly. The purpose for the Aramaic is to give direct definition according to that language at that time with no room for interruption or misinterpretation. And of these 50 words or less, because I don't know what the actual number is, just a few of them, two of them come to mind. One is where Jesus is raising Tabitha from the dead, and he uses the term, he goes into the room, and he says, Tabitha, I think it's Komini. Somebody could look that up and check me, and I probably just butchered it. But that term is Aramaic. And it's defined, when you look it up, it's defined as arise, my darling, excuse me, defined as my darling, arise from the death into life. And then another word, which I went where we're at in Romans chapter 8, is the term Abba. Okay, the term Abba is Aramaic; it's direct, and it's defined this way. If you look it up, and it's Abba in the English, it's Abba Father. Okay, Abba Father, but Abba is defined as Daddy, with whom I have a special relationship, okay? Abba, Daddy, with whom I have a special relationship. And today, and I trust even tonight and on tape, that the Holy Spirit is moving to do a healing in those that are having a problem relating to God as God, the loving Father. And if you follow Romans 8, I encourage you to do so in your own personal studies in meditation, it goes on to talk about how if God, the Father, be for us, who shall be against us? And if God, the Father, loved us so much that he spared not his only Son from going to the cross for you, how much more shall he freely give us in life? And he has opened the door for us and wishes for us to receive by faith the grace that enables us to live and be recipients of the living waters of life that come forth from the Spirit through the Word. Abba, Daddy. Abba, Daddy. Perhaps if you're here tonight and you've wrestled with that and you want to come into the fullness as Paul prayed that we might know as the body of Christ the height, the depth, the width of the love of God for us, the love of the Father. You know, if you've been unfortunate, the devil works through the wiles of the enemy. He works to inflict wounds by using families that are not quite right with God, and fathers that don't know God, and to really come against and try to ultimately work against our coming into the fullness of the relationship that God wants us to have with Him. And God wants us, I'll just close with this, and let the Holy Spirit do His work of healing through it for those that need it. And if you don't need it, just pray and let God manifest it in an understanding so that you can help others to come into it as you are used of God to minister healing to them. But God wants to do a deep work. The Holy Spirit wants to do a deep work even now to establish you in the comprehension of the reception of the grace of God that is the love of the Father. And Jesus also, His title, one of His titles and names is Everlasting Father. Okay? Everlasting Father. And He has called us through the Holy Spirit to come into a ministry of relationship whereby we, as children of God, relate to Him in the spirit of Abba, Father, Daddy, with whom I have a special relationship. Amen? Amen. Father, I ask you to bless these words and just help us to grow, Father, continuously. Let your love for us be expanded in our hearts, through whereby we are overflowing so that it pours out to others as well. We pray and ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen? Amen. Is that Pastor Moore?